Okay, so we're in a series right now called Belonging. God is speaking to us, His church, about the importance of belonging, belonging to His family. And nobody belongs to the family of God except through Christ Jesus. Through receiving the work, the finished work of Christ Jesus, we belong to the family of God. But we belong to one another because family is brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have a big family. It's a beautiful family. And God has blessings for us in belonging. So today in our journey, we're going to discover that belonging is beyond convenience. When we're belonging, we're going beyond convenience. That's the title of today's message. Beyond convenience. Beyond convenience. Sorry, I threw a little bit of a curveball at you there, AV team, but that's what I do sometimes. Beyond convenience. Why do people feel so lonely and disconnected and empty in a modern world where we have all this technology, all these ways, all this social media, all these apps, all this stuff that allows us to connect with one another, yet we feel so disconnected? I mean, I have over 1,000 quote-unquote friends on social media. I'm like, should be like considered the most popular guy and belong, and everybody loves me, right? Because I have all these friends and I'm so connected on social media, yet people still feel so lonely and so disconnected. I believe a big reason is because we're settling for imitations. Because we're doing life, we're doing relationship, we're settling for a virtual reality kind of belonging. And the virtual reality that we're quote-unquote belonging to isn't real. It's just one side of reality. It's only the spin that everybody wants us to see. And we only connect in certain ways. In this online kind of cloud relation, virtual reality kind of world that we're in. And it's an imitation. It's not real. It's not flesh and blood. It's not walking through the trials of life. It's not sitting down and eating a meal with one another. It's not doing life with others through long periods of time, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's just a snippet here, a snippet there, a like here. A heart here, a comment here, a comment there, and tweet here, and a tweet there a tweet, there a tweet, everywhere a tweet, you know, whatever it might be. A virtual reality kind of belonging and relational community. God has for us deep relationship. He has a deep dimension of belonging for us. He didn't create us for surface things. He created us to go deep. He created us to experience real relationship with Him. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him, gnosis, knowing Him. And not just knowing about what's going on in each other's lives, but actually knowing one another. But here's the deal, that if we're going to be those who are going to walk into this kind of relationship that God has for us, then we got to understand that real relationship, the kind God has for us, requires some serious investment, some serious commitment, planning, and sacrifice. And some of you are thinking those sound like four-letter words. They do to our flesh, don't they? Investment, ay, ay, ay. Planning and commitment and sacrifice, that's the worst of all of them, right? Sacrifice, I got to sacrifice? Anyway, the Bible reveals that relationship can be taken beyond surface into a whole nother level. And the next dimension of relationship is called covenant. So that's what we're going to really be focusing on here today. We're going to talk about moving beyond convenience and into this new dimension, this supernatural, God-prescribed and ordained dimension of relationship called covenant. On our 25th wedding anniversary, I picked Velvet up. 25 years of marriage. Come on now, that was impressive. That was a couple years ago. It's 27 already. It's going to be 28 in June. Woo! Anyway, 25th wedding anniversary, I picked her up. And so Velvet thinks I'm taking her out for a nice lunch, right? But instead of going to a restaurant, I pull up to the courthouse. I pulled up to the courthouse because it was time to turn in our marriage license. Now, before you think, man, it was falling apart for the Joneses at that time. No. We were exchanging it. Not getting rid. We were exchanging our standard marriage license for a covenant marriage license. Because you see, when we got married, all they had was just a regular marriage license. But since we were married, Arizona came out with this new thing called a covenant marriage. And essentially, it's a marriage and a license and an agreement that you have in writing that in my opinion, speaks more to the kind of relationship that Velvet and I have. And that is, it's not a relationship of convenience. It's not a relationship where you know, differing opinions or just something goes haywire or somebody has a bad day, week, month, year, season, that we just bail on it, that type of thing. This is a deep kind of commitment relationship, a covenant marriage. And so I took my wife to the courthouse, we turned in our old marriage license, and we got a covenant marriage license. And guys, I want to tell you what, you can steal that idea. It's a beautiful one. It's an awesome one. It doesn't have to be your 25th wedding anniversary. If you don't have a covenant marriage license, go and do it. And then spend some time talking to one another about what this means and about the covenant that you've made. Remind yourselves, maybe even go through your wedding vows again and just declare those commitments that you have for one another and that you're in this thing as long as you both shall live. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's not about convenience. A covenant is a commitment to love and be faithful in all things and at all times. A commitment. Did you hear that word? A lot of C's this morning, aren't they? It's not about convenience. It's beyond convenience. It's about covenant, and covenant requires commitment. Commitment. And it's a commitment to be faithful. It's a commitment to love. A covenant in the biblical setting was a pledge to death. And it was sealed, or as it said, it was cut in blood. And so we're going beyond convenience now. We're talking about something pretty significant and serious here. But I just want to rest it. I mean, some of your eyes right now are popping out. We're not one of those kind of weird churches, all right? We don't have like knives that we're going to be handing out. We're just doing communion at the end of the service. We're not going to be getting any weird or spilling any kind of blood right now. We have a new covenant in Christ Jesus, and we're going to kind of roll that direction instead of this way, all right? So just want to set everybody's mind at ease for just a moment here. But a covenant was significant enough that it would actually be cut in blood. It would be sealed in blood. A commitment, a life commitment to be faithful to one another, to love one another, to be committed to one another, to be there for one another no matter what. Can you imagine being loved that way? That somebody would lay down their own life for you, their own plans, their own dreams, to be there for you. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And all of us in Christ Jesus, we've experienced that, haven't we? Because Jesus cut a covenant with us. And he sealed that covenant with us in his blood. He sealed the covenant with us in his blood. And he laid down his life and he went to a cross for us. That level of relationship. And it's this level of relationship that Jesus is calling us, the church, to. A level of relationship that's beyond convenience. Was it convenient for Jesus to go to the cross? No, it wasn't. You guys know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before, right? He's crying out to God. He's sweating blood. He's like, God, if it's all possible that this cup, that this outcome can change. Oh, God, let it change, but not my will, but yours be done. If this is how we got to roll, if this is how it's got to go down, then I'm all in. Let's cut the covenant, and if it's my blood that will be spilled, then let it be my blood that will be spilled. And he went to the cross. He cut a covenant with us, and it's this level beyond convenience, this level of commitment of covenant that God is actually calling us, the church, to have with one another. That sounds serious, Pastor. I don't know if I signed up for that. Well, get on board, because this is what God has for you. This is what Jesus said. It's recorded in John 13, verse 34. Check this out. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. And what kind of love are we to have for one another? Check this out. Jesus says, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, how much did he love us? We just talked about it. He cut a covenant with us. He spilled his blood for us. He went all the way for us. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I relate with you, you relate with one another. As I'm committed to you, you commit to one another. As I'm patient with you, you be patient with one another. It's not about convenience, church. It's about covenant. It's about doing things God's way. And there's so much blessing in living life God's way. A new dimension called covenant. So the friendship between Jonathan, now Jonathan is the son of King Saul. The friendship between this guy named Jonathan and David, who was the king to be, is a stunning picture of taking a relationship beyond convenience and into the dimension of covenant. The story is summarized in 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel, and we're going to be in chapters 18, 19, and 20. 1 Samuel chapters 18, 19, and 20, checking out what God means by covenant. What does it look like? How do we live this out for real? So after David killed Goliath, King Saul was pretty impressed with David. He saved their bacon, if you will, right? I don't know, they're Hebrews, they didn't have bacon, but anyway. I just thought about it. I said it and I thought about it. Wait, that doesn't make sense. All right. So anyway, he was a hero. Pretty impressive what this young man did. And so King Saul said, hey, I want you to come live with me. I want you to come live in the palace with me. And so David comes and lives with the king. Well, the king has a son named Jonathan, and David and Jonathan become really close friends. I mean, they're hanging out together. They're doing life together. They might even be getting in a little bit of trouble together. You know what I'm saying? But I'm sure it was all good in the end, because he was a man after God's heart. But anyway, I digress. So these guys were getting to know each other well. They were becoming close friends. And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3, we read this. Jonathan made a covenant with David. In other words, Jonathan made a deep relational commitment to his friend David, and he cut it in blood. Because why did he make a covenant? Why did he go to this next level dimension of relationship? Because it says that he loved him, Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Does that sound familiar? I think Jesus said something about that, how we're to love one another as ourselves. Amen. So Jonathan got it, and he decided, I'm ready to go to a new dimension with this relationship. It's not going to be about convenience. We're going to go all the way into this place called covenant. But things started to get messy. King Saul became envious. He felt threatened by David because, after all, what was going on? David was just being himself, and he was going out there and anyway, he was killing his tens of thousands while Saul was only killing his thousands, right? And so everyone was chanting David. Everybody loved David. David was getting all the accolades and not Saul. So Saul became envious. He became threatened, and it went to the place even of fear. Fear for this guy named David. And we pick it up here in verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. So David was rocking it, and Saul was threatened. Okay? Verse 28 keeps going. New levels of pain and craziness. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy for the rest of his days. And then it went to a whole nother level of hurt and brokenness and dysfunction. It says in 1 Samuel 19, verse 1, that Saul told his son David, now this is, so told his son Jonathan, who's David's best friend, right? He tells his son Jonathan that, I want you to kill David. Kill your best friend. And this is where we discover now the power of the covenant relationship. Because it had just gone way beyond convenient for Jonathan and David to be covenant brothers and close friends. It was into a difficult period now for them to keep that friendship alive and healthy. You know, I think about this. When things are going great, it's easy to do life. It's easy to be filled with joy. It's easy to be patient with people, you know, when everything's just flowing and it's good. But it's when things get hard. It's when times get tough. It's in the trials that we really find out what we're made of. It's in the trials. It's in the difficulties. It's in the times when things aren't working out the way we wanted to that we find out what our relationships are made of, what our marriages are really made of. And so Jonathan and David were about to find out what their friendship was really made of when Jonathan's dad, the king, was telling him to take out his best friend. I'm not talking like on a date, okay, kids? I'm talking like take him out. You know what I'm saying? I want to look at three qualities of covenant that help make this relationship between Jonathan and David so special. And I want to see how we can take these qualities and apply them to our lives, to our relationships, and enter into this new dimension of relationship called covenant with one another. So number one is this: covenant compels us to care for one another. So that's how I originally wrote it. Covenant compels us to care for one another, but then I changed it, crossed it out, and I said, no, I don't like the word compels, and here's why. And I wanted to share this with you, kind of my process of what I went through, because I think it's important. Covenant doesn't force us to care for one another. See, compel implies forcing, pushing, making us care for one another. But that's not how covenant works. Covenant isn't a taskmaster. Covenant is an empowering. See, covenant empowers us. It's a grace. It's filled with grace. It's God's grace. It's His power. It's His move. It's His love. It's God moving in us and through us that causes us, and it gives us the ability to do something that we're not naturally in the flesh designed to do, and that's care for one another. So covenant doesn't just compel us to care for one another, but covenant empowers us, gives us the grace, the supernatural grace to do what? To care for one another. I think that's an important distinction. So back to 1 Samuel 18:3. Jonathan made a covenant, this grace-filled relational commitment to David because he loved him as much as he loved himself. When we look at the relationship between these two guys, it spanned about 13 years. They walked through a lot of good times together. They walked through some tough times with one another. They laughed together, I'm sure. They wept together. I mean, David, you know, being the musician and all that, I'm sure they sung a lot of songs and worshiped the Lord together, experienced the presence of God together, you know, going from glory to glory. I'm sure it was awesome. They talked about truth of God, and they encouraged one another. They built each other up. I'm sure they had some disagreements with one another. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. They did a lot of life together, though. Faced mutual enemies, having one another's back. And when the story of their journey came to an end, David mourned the death of Jonathan more than he mourned any other death. He mourned the death of his friend, Jonathan. We need friends like Jonathan. How many of you want a friend like Jonathan? I mean, who's there through it all for you. And we shouldn't just want them. We need friends like that. And we need to be friends like Jonathan. We need to be Jonathan to others. Those that are going to be there through the thick and thin, through the good and the bad. Those who are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with one another and fear no evil and build one another up and encourage one another. Be there at all hours, whatever it takes. We need Jonathan's, and we need to be Jonathan's for one another. But it means bearing one another's burdens. It means caring for one another, putting one another before ourselves, loving one another at our own hurt. That's what it looks like to be in covenant. Those of you who are married here in the room, you understand that. I hope you understand that. That's what marriage looks like. That's what that covenant between one man and one woman means. It's being there and loving and caring even when it hurts, even when it's not convenient. We care for one another. I want to look at quality number two of a covenant relationship. Covenant empowers us to be honest, to be transparent, and to be truthful. Let's go to chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. Then David fled from Naioth at Ramah because Saul tracked him down to kill him. That's why he's fleeing. That's why he's running away. By the way, I just want to point this out. Some people think that, like, if somebody's coming at you because you're a believer or whatever, that you're just supposed to wait for them to come and catch up with you and then take you out or whatever. You can run, by the way. Running is okay. You know, the early church, where the church started in Jerusalem, and they were rocking it, right? Upper room, and 3,000 coming to Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was like, ooh, wow, power happening. And then they started getting persecuted. So what did the church do? They dispersed. It's called the diaspora. They dispersed and they went all over. God can use even those situations when we're being attacked, when people are coming to take us out. He can use those to spread his love and his gospel all over the place. We don't have to just stay and take it. We can run. It's okay. Sometimes the Lord says, don't run and stand. Anyway, that's just a side note. So anyway, David, he's running. He's fleeing because the king and all of his men are coming after him to kill him. And he went to Jonathan. So David runs. He finds his best friend Jonathan. And he asks Jonathan, what have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he's trying to take my life? And listen to what Jonathan says. He says, never. Never, Jonathan replied. You're not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything, great or small, without confiding in me. Why would he hide this from me? It's not so. He's not trying to kill you. So what do we find going on right here? Jonathan and David have a different perspective. They're seeing reality differently. They have a different opinion. David is saying, your dad's trying to kill me. Jonathan is saying, my dad wouldn't do that. And if he would do that, I would know about it. There's a difference of opinion. They're seeing life through different lenses. So how does this all go down when these two that are in covenant are on different pages? What happens? Well, covenant releases a grace in a relationship that helps us be honest, that helps us share our differing perspectives and opinions. When we're in a covenant relationship, we can be vulnerable with one another, and we find ourselves willing to be transparent with one another. Why is that? Because we know the other person is committed to us. We know the other person isn't going to run from us just because we're saying some hard things or some difficult things, or we don't understand, or we don't have the same perspective or opinion. We're able to share things because we know that that's not going to ruin the relationship or cause it come to an end. Because we're in covenant. We've gone to a deeper dimension. We're not hanging out. We're not together. We're not married. We're not in a church family together just because it's convenient and only when it feels good and only when people say nice things and only when people agree with us. We've already gone further and beyond that. We're in it no matter what. We're committed to one another. And so because of that commitment, it creates a safe place. Covenant creates a safe place for us to process real life, for us to process differences, for us to then be able to be transparent with one another. You've heard the saying about how Adam and Eve, back in the day, they were naked and unafraid, right? Well, in a covenant relationship, okay, I won't talk about that right now, but in a covenant relationship, we can be honest and unafraid. We can be honest and unafraid because we're in covenant with one another. Because what you have to say isn't going to scare me away, isn't going to cause me to run away. Because what you have to say to me, even though it might be hard to hear, isn't going to have me taking offense. It isn't going to have me judging you. We can be honest and unafraid Don't we all want that? Isn't that what we all desire? To be honest and unafraid. Because of covenant, we can be real and we can navigate those dangerous relational curves. Let me tell you a story. Back in the day, we used to go over to Coronado Island. It was like our little piece of paradise, and it is a piece of paradise. It's a beautiful place, and we had access to a condo over there for years and years. It was phenomenal, right? Well, to get over to paradise, to get to Coronado Island, you had to cross a really tall bridge. I mean, the kind of bridge that if you go off of, right, it's over type of bridge, right? And I'm not a heights kind of guy. I've gone through, you know, I'm seeking freedom. I've seek the Lord in it. I want freedom from all that, right? But I don't like heights, all right? I'm just telling you that right now. All right, I don't like heights. Don't like it at all. In fact, when I get really in tall, high places, my stomach just starts to, it gets crazy. So driving over the bridge to paradise, to Coronado Island, was always a little bit of a chore for me. Well, one day, we're driving over the bridge, and someone in the car says to me, "Hey, what if that guardrail wasn't there? Do you think you could still drive in this outside lane?" And I just about lost it. I almost slammed on the brakes right there and just said, "I'm done right now," right? Because all my mind went to was imagining that there was no guardrail and it was just whoop, right? And so I'm looking at that and there's no way. There was no way that I could drive over that bridge if there was not a guardrail. Not only could I not drive in the outside lane, which I was driving in when they said that, right? But put up some of those pictures. Put up the picture of there's the bridge, right? Look at that. That's crazy. That's a lot taller than what it looks like here. And then put up the next picture. Okay, guardrail, right? You got the guardrail, but I mean, it's like whoop, way down there. Whoop, you like that? That's how I feel, okay? You're kind of getting a picture of some of my dysfunction here. But anyway, so it's a long way down, and there was no way. Not only, I couldn't ride in the right lane and in the outside lane. I couldn't even, like, ride in the middle of the whole bridge if there weren't guardrails. It just wouldn't happen. So, praise God, they have guardrails on this bridge because that gives me the courage and allows me to feel safe to go over to paradise, to enjoy Coronado Island. And, you know, like those actual physical guardrails, the commitment of covenant creates relational guardrails, and it empowers us to be honest with one another and transparent with one another. Those relational guardrails that we have because of covenant allow us to go to new dimensions and depth in our relationship, because we're not going to be afraid that the relationship is going to go off the edge just because something gets a little crazy or a little different, or we're not on the same page for a season or a period of time. We have relational guardrails because we are in covenant with one another, and we can keep going from glory to glory over the next bridge and the next bridge, and we don't have to let things stop, and we don't have to do the free fall either. We're in covenant with one another. We're not going to be slowed down. We have relational guardrails. It's a beautiful thing. I'm so thankful for covenant. I'm so thankful for God's ways. They're so rich, honest, and unafraid. In fact, let's say that together. Say, honest, and unafraid. Amen. That's what we have because we have covenant with one another. Number three, covenant empowers us to protect and cover one another. So King Saul, Jonathan's father, is demanding that David die. Verse 32 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. "But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him." Okay, let's stop for a moment here. What we're witnessing is we are truly witnessing a man that is filled with demons. Let's just call it what it is. This king, who was anointed to be king, finds himself later in life literally filled with demons, to the point that he's trying to kill people that are committed to him, people that love him, people willing to lay down their lives for him, people that have gone to battle for him. And he's so filled with demons. And why is he filled with demons? Let's just be real. Because of fear. You know, when we live in fear, when we live in envy, when we're always living like we're threatened by other people, we are opening up our lives to the enemy. We are falling for his bait right there. When we're living in unforgiveness, It goes from bad to worse. And the next thing you know, we're like this crazy King Saul, filled with demons, just being stupid. That's where it goes. So Saul, he's throwing a spear to kill him. Then Jonathan knew. Okay, Jonathan might have been a little slow, by the way. I don't know. But anyway, so finally it says, Jonathan then knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger on that second day of the month, and he did not eat. What did he do? He fasted. Check this out. Jonathan finds himself in despair. He finds himself in a situation that needs to change. And what does he do? He moves to fasting. What are we doing right now? The Lord's called us to fasting. There's some things in our nation that need to change. There's some things in our nation that look, that are desperate, right? And so we are moving. We're being compelled by the Holy Spirit to move into this place of fasting. Oh, we could get out on social media and just start ripping everybody of why they're wrong and whose, you know, thoughts are correct and right. No. That's not what we do. That's not what Jonathan does. We go to where the Lord calls us to go, and we go to that place of fasting, seeking the face of God, because this is a situation that only God is going to correct. Jonathan isn't going to have any words of wisdom for his dad that are going to change his demon-filled spirit at that point to cause it to stop. It's just not going to happen. God needs to show up. So Jonathan moves to fasting because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. So Jonathan, his dad Saul, is telling him that you got to take out your best friend. But Jonathan refused to do that. He refused because he'd cut a covenant. Because this relationship wasn't about convenience. It was in the dimension of covenant. And covenant empowered Jonathan to do what? To protect his friend. And to cover his friend. Remember what we talked about a few weeks back? We talked about how the Lord has us, has safety for us. He has a strong tower for us. He has defenders for us. And we need to look around the room because these are our bodyguards. We are one another's bodyguards. We are the ones that God has placed in our lives. The people around you are the ones that God has placed in your life to have your back, to be your bodyguard, to protect you, to cover you when things are getting dangerous. Jonathan had David's back. Now, it may look a little different for us right now. We might not have people chasing us with spears trying to kill us. But are we willing for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, are we willing to risk our position? Are we willing to risk our reputation? Are we willing to risk our connection and our place at work or in the world today in order to cover one another, in order to protect one another? Will we protect each other from gossip and slander? Because it's out there. Or will we just jump on that train and just be part of it? Will we protect each other? Will we cover one another's faults and failures and weaknesses and make up for each other's deficiencies? Or will we take opportunity to take advantage of that or to expose one another? We're not here to expose one another. We're here to cover one another. We're here to protect one another. We're here to have each other's back. That's what covenant is. That's a new dimension. That's honest and unafraid. That's empowering. That's grace-filled. And I'm telling you what, when we are those who are living in this kind of relationship, this covenant dimension of relationship, there ain't nothing in the world. I usually don't use the word ain't, but I am this time anyway. It's just moving me to err. There's nothing in the world that's going to stop a church that has grabbed hold of God's way of relating with one another called covenant. Because we're going to protect one another, we're going to cover one another, and we're going to move forward with one another. It's powerful, it's impactful. Look out, because here comes the church. As I conclude, and guys, you can start handing out communion. As I conclude, I ran across a challenge this week, and I read it, and it goes like this. It says, are you spending your time finding or becoming? After all, happiness isn't finding the right person. Happiness is being the right person. Happiness isn't finding the right church. It's being the right church. That spoke to me in relation to what we're talking about here about covenant, about going beyond convenience into covenant. So as we take our relationships to this new dimension, past convenience to covenant, what do we find? We find ourselves now becoming the right people and becoming the right church. That church that glorifies God. That church that's honest and unafraid. That church, like we talked about on Friday night, that's kicking down the gates of hell and is setting captives free and is bringing the light and love of Christ Jesus into dark and hurting places to people who Jesus loves and spilled his blood for. Becoming, through this new dimension, this gift, this relation called the covenant. I'm ready to move beyond convenience. Are you? Amen. I'm ready for covenant. I'm ready for covenant.